If you will, please turn in your turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be there in just a minute. Let's pray before we go. Father, thank you so much for coming with each one of us every time we walk in the door. Thank you for making our meeting so special. Where there's a lot of folks or a few, we can feel the presence of your Holy Spirit here among us, and we thank you for that. Teach us, Lord, how to worship in such a way that would glorify you. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray again. Amen. You know, this week, my wife follows a little bit of Facebook sometimes. She called me across the room and said, "Listen to this. One of my best cowboy friends of 60 years or so, his grandson down in Fitzpatrick, Alabama, had, I don't know what you call it, tweeted or whatever. He put it on Facebook. He said, he's 26, a young cowboy himself. We've been real proud of him, but I didn't know this side of him as well as I wished I did. But he said, wouldn't it be a nice thing if Jesus could just sit down on the side of the bed with you and have a long talk with you and tell you what he wanted you to do? And I sat down then to write him a letter of all the scriptures that I know of, that God says we're not able to come up with spiritual things ourselves, that the Holy Spirit of God has to tell us every single thing we do that God approves of, and where those scriptures are, and to let him know that Jesus is a whole lot closer than sitting on the bed with you. Amen. When we got saved, my Bible says that Jesus said, "I can't leave you without a comforter. So if I go, I'm going to leave you somebody to comfort you like I have." And he left us with a thing called the Holy Spirit. That is a piece of God that God put inside of you. And he's in there. And the Bible tells in 14th, 15th, 16th chapter of John all the things that he does. And he leads us every day, and he scolds us when we do the wrong thing, and he teaches us the Bible, and he tells us, gives us revelation and stuff, things that we need to be doing, that God wants us to do now that we're Christians and living in what is known as the kingdom. Now you remember Jesus' message when he came was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. You can live under the rule of God. Well, now, what is the kingdom of God? He's not talking about heaven. When he says the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about any place that you as a Christian happen to be and allow God to rule you and be in control of your life. And that is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says it's fixing to come. And it did come at Pentecost. It wasn't long. He said, you need to get ready. You need to change your mind because it's coming. Well, praise God, it's here now. And you have control, even after you're saved, to place yourself in that place where God rules every single thing you do every day. And the communication is there. Jesus don't have to come in and sit down on the bed with you. It's inside of here. Everywhere you go, 24/7. And the only time that the Bible says that God is not trying to direct you into what he wants you to do is when you purposefully sin and then he turns his head the other way. Nobody has told that young man that because he didn't know that. But I'm going to tell him. And if he'll read that letter, I'll give him scriptural basis for every single thing we talk about around here every day. So I'm calling this sermon to watch and listen and pray. You know, Jesus told the disciples in the garden to watch and pray. Watch for what? Watch to see what I'm doing. And what do you want me to pray about? Pray and see if I'm supposed to be a part of whatever you got going on down here, God. That's the way He does things down here. He speaks through us and He moves through us. And we do His will, hopefully. And that's how it gets done. In the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, and the third verse. Listen to this. Paul says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle or the letter of God, of Christ, administered by us," he's telling these people at Corinth that you guys are the message that we have given the message to, so now you can give the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. You're the guys, he says. And we can take that for ourselves. "For as much as you're the manifestly declared to be the message of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." He says, you know, he told them back in the Old Testament, "I will come and I will put myself in your heart. And it won't be by tables of stone. It'll be by me in your heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is God." Everything that we know about God in heaven and God things in heaven things are told to us by the Spirit of God. And verse 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. As a Christian, you are a product of the New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. People have wondered, what does that mean? What does that mean? That sounds weird. Well, you know, the Ten Commandments were given to us to show us what we do wrong. Okay? Wasn't there to try to make us right. It was there to try to show us what we do wrong. And he says those that do wrong purposefully deserve death. That's what he's saying here. That it was written in the Ten Commandments results in death if you're not doing them all and you can't do them all. But the Spirit, when the church, Jesus brought the church, and you were born again, and God put the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit giveth life. Now, let me tell you something. There's a lot of words in the Hebrew, like their word for love is agape and phileo. They've got three words for it. And we only have one word for love. But I'm telling you, they got a word for life, and it means everything. I've looked it up every way you can, and every word, life, in the Bible is the same word, got the same definition. But I'm going to tell you, this word right here, giveth life, he's not talking about making you breathe. He's not talking about making you alive and breathing and living and moving and being. He's talking about spirit of life. The Spanish call it brio. Being alive and wanting to do things. And a Christian should be that way. He should encourage everybody that comes up on him. They should be able to see that he's been with Jesus. About 150 years ago, preachers quit talking about the true ministry of the Holy Spirit. Why they did this, I have no idea. But I've heard and I've repeated the story that the head of the Salvation Army in 1899 was asked, what about 1900, that whole 100 years, the next generation? And he said, they'll have to live it in the church without the Spirit. Because everybody quit talking about the Holy Spirit. Before the church came, we had rules. Everybody lived by the Ten Commandments. And Jesus brought the church, and everything changed. Now, people who were trapped by Satan then until they died can no longer have to be trapped. And we'll see that as we go through here with these scriptures I'll read to you. But why did that happen? Well, I'll remind you of one thing. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus climbed up on the cross and was killed and resurrected in 3 days. And we celebrate that. They turned it over to men, and we celebrate it 2,000 years later with colored eggs and Easter baskets and bunnies. That's how we mess something up. And if we're not careful, we'll mess up everything that God tries to give us. But I know this, it was easier to live under the rules than it was living under the Holy Spirit. I mean, it says, thou shalt not steal. So if you don't steal, you know you're okay. But that's not what God intended. It was something a whole lot more than just that. It was easier to know right from wrong. Because you see, and y'all have known people in the church that had all those lists. I mean, I've got the history of the Baptist church in Bibb County. And Wednesday night after Wednesday night, minutes in that book, they're telling about how churches are kicking people out of the church because they were seen drinking a beer or heard cussing, using a cuss word during the week. So on Wednesday, they just met and kicked them out of the church. They lived by rules. It was easier for some folks to know right from wrong. Easier to know what to do and what not to do, because there was always some person trying to remind you when you wasn't right. And it was easier to preachers to talk about things that aren't in this book. They talked about dancing and smoking and cussing and drinking and gambling. All that stuff that were cultural ills of the day. And I mean, it was legitimate in a way because there were a lot of people who were destroying their family from doing these things. But it wasn't the thing that God was talking about. It made it easier to judge your brother too, and there was a lot of folks loved that. You know, he's breaking the rules. We need to kick him out of the church. Hey, I'll vote, you know. People had mean spirits. Generations have tried to live under that system because it didn't require any faith. Think about it for a minute now. That thing just had a list of rules, and you watching people to make sure they lived under the rules, and you didn't look so hard at yourself because you might see you were breaking them too. The Bible says everybody does. Unsaved churchgoers in that kind of a situation can fit in too. Because if they live by the rules, if they don't do the things that the church don't want you to do and all the time talking about it and live in the flesh, they can still fit in. The problem was that so many preachers live by the rules too. They got up every Sunday and they told the rules. And they got on everybody that didn't live by the rules. And they scolded people that didn't live by the rules. That's a hard way to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. You hear me? Constantly walking, looking over your shoulder. This kind of Christianity God never intended, folks. And that's how big a mistake the church has made. Because y'all know you've been to churches the things I'm talking about is true. Today, the church has people who live by the faith and they trust God. And there are those who totally live by the rules and don't have a great deal of faith. You can tell it because if any hardship comes in their life, they absolutely fold up. But I'm going to tell you something. Think about it a minute. When you live by the rules, you put God behind your back. You don't have that connection with God. You actually deal with God through that list of rules, right? And see, there's another set of rules. There's those 500 rules that the Hebrews, the Jews, made out of the Ten Commandments. And you know from reading the Gospels that the Pharisees watched everything people did to make sure they washed their hands just so, and they didn't eat on Sunday, and you couldn't walk but 67 steps on Sunday. Or they'd haul you into church. You can appear to be a Christian. You can be a men pleaser, Paul called them. But you got no power. God intended for each one of us to have power to do things. He said, you can move a mountain by that power that I've given you. I had to learn because to start with, I didn't know better and I tried to move a mountain by speaking a word. It didn't work. The mountain didn't move that far. But I had to find out. It's just when God wants it moved and tells you to move it, that's when it gets moved. Many people don't want to go through life listening for God. Living every day listening for God. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Jesus says, if ye abide in me, that word abide means live or dwell. So if you live in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus answers prayer for those people who are living in him. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. If you live that away, then Jesus says that's the way you're supposed to live. You can be my disciples if you do it that away. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you, Jesus said. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, we can live just like Jesus did. And that's what God intends for us to do. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If you live that way, you can be full of joy all the time. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You got to keep him on your mind. You got to keep God on your mind all day. When you get up and when you go to bed and when you do this and when you do that, when you're driving down the road and when you're working at your job, whatever you do, your mind is never very far away from Jesus, he said. Now look at verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That is a powerful, powerful verse in this word. I think about my friend's grandson. He wants to be Jesus' friend. I mean, that expression that he had about sitting down on the bed and talking with me, he wants Jesus to be his buddy. And he doesn't know that he is already. And Jesus says, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his master or his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus says, I've told you everything. It's all right here in the Bible. All you have to do is read it. And because of that, I want you to be friends with me. I say this, if you abide, if you're living with Jesus every minute, He'll be your friend, and Jehovah God in heaven, His Father, will be your heavenly Father too. But life in the Spirit, when you live that close to Jesus showed it when He went through the fields and pulled the kernels of wheat and ate them on the Sabbath day. And boy, I mean, the Pharisees had a fit about this kind of stuff. He showed them that living in the Spirit, under the new dispensation, under the church, under the presence and of the indwelling Holy Spirit, there are no rules. You'll not be a cookie-cutter Christian living that way, because your mind's on God all the time, your mind's on Jesus all the time. Holy Spirit will tell you if you're doing something wrong. It lays aside all the dead precepts and seeks directly the will of God. All day long, you're in your mind wanting to do what God wants you to do and to be what God wants you to be. He goes where He's led and does only what He's told to do. That's a lot closer than following a rule maker. But a lot of folks are afraid of living by the Spirit. So then at this point I ask you, is it a big deal? Yes, it's a big deal. God intended for you to live under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If you'll flip over to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul makes an interesting statement over here. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 15, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus," he's written this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he says, when I heard of how you guys had so much faith in Jesus Christ at your church, and how much love you had for all the other saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Paul said, when I heard of how good you guys were in your church there at Ephesus, I prayed for you all the time. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Paul says, for you and your church, because you have so much faith and so much love for each other, I pray that God will show you every bit of wisdom you need and every bit of knowledge of Him. Because you see, the Bible says to be spiritual is to have the understanding and knowledge of God. You learn more about Him. That's how you get to be that way. Without living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you have to live in what the Bible calls flesh. You use your own brain. You use your own taste buds. You do what tastes good. You do what feels good. You make decisions on what you think is best for you, never asking the Lord what He thinks about it. And that's the way you live, not in the Spirit, but in the flesh. When you live out from under the control of the Holy Spirit, preachers can wander around. They can say anything they want to. And people listen to it, and a lot of them believe it, even though it didn't come out of the book. And it says in the later chapters in 1 John and 1 Peter, all back in there, that there are false teachers gone out in the world. They're preaching every Sunday. And for you to have to try every single spirit to make sure that what you're hearing is coming from Scripture, from Jesus, instead of from some guy's head. And God will show you what that is too. You don't have to make that decision. He'll tell you, this is not right. People can compete with each other when they don't live under the Spirit. Always, my church is better than your church. My this, my that, my preacher's better, you know, all that kind of stuff. And people can criticize other people. God didn't intend for that. You know, in 6th chapter of Proverbs, when it talks about there are 6 things that God hates, yea, there are 7 that are abomination to Him. The first thing on God's hate list is a proud look. The second thing is a lying tongue. Those things God hates worse than anything. How many people do you know that make a comment about the things of God that you can tell immediately are arrogant? God's not going to help an arrogant person trying to share God. 18 times he says in his book, if you try to make yourself to be something big time, I'm going to bring you down. 18 times. So turn now to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You see what he's saying? Walk like you were saved. Well, how were you saved? By faith. How did you get saved? You heard of something you'd never heard before, and something inside of you said, I believe that, that's right. And you asked Jesus to come into your heart, and He saved you. You didn't know where you were going, didn't know what you were going to do, didn't understand even how to live like that. But you stepped out on faith and became a Christian. So how then do you live a Christian life? Same way you got to be a Christian. You live it in faith. And you got to stick your neck out sometimes in it, because I don't understand near about all that God asked me to do. But I have to just take the first step and go on, and then He'll guide me from then on. So walk the same way you were saved. In verse 7, rooted and built it up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So if you understand the program, you're going to thank God all the time, because you're going to see other people that don't get a near bigger chance to live like you do. And this is our key verse for this church right here. We've been over and over and over, Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. How are you going to do that? How are you going to keep from getting sidetracked? That's what that verse means. Beware lest anybody spoil you, let's say sidetrack you. And Satan's in the sidetracking business. He'll throw a switch on your track anytime he can, and you'll wind up on the short track. For in Him, who? Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Ye are complete within Him. Jesus is what you need, and it's all you need. That word complete means full. In Jesus, you got everything you need. You don't need to ask for anything else. And He'll fill you in on what else you need to do and think. There are people who live with this life I'm talking about, this life in Jesus, this upbeat life, that seem to just enjoy the next breath that's coming into their nose. You know what I'm saying? They just float over the ground. Verse 13. And you, talking about me and you, being dead in your sins in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. That's that another word for life. Given a special life, a life full of joy. Quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Jesus says, or Paul says, Jesus took those rules and nailed them to his cross. Now you live under the Spirit. Quit studying so much about the rules and start asking Jesus, what do I do next? What do I think next? And having spoiled principalities and powers, that's Satan's army. He spoiled it. He made a show of them open. He stuck it right in their face when he was raised from the dead, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of a Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance or the body of it is Jesus Christ. Have this confidence as a Christian today that boy doesn't have. That you are a Christian. God has placed a part of himself inside of you. That Holy Spirit tells you when you're wrong, tells you when you're thinking wrong, tells you when you're doing wrong, and you don't have to worry about it. If you don't know, it says in Ephesians, he'll show you. Anytime you need to know the truth, he'll show it to you. So how do you do it? You abide in him. You keep him on your mind all the time. We had a fellow come up here after a sermon about 3 months ago and said, I've learned to keep myself separated from religion and my work and everything. He said, I keep my religion all over here. He says, don't you agree with that? And I said, no, I can't do it. And you know what? I don't believe you can either. If you're like God wants you to be and like he's trying to make you, you can't separate who you are as a Christian from who you are any other way. And you'll know what's going on too, because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to show you the future. He's to show you what's going to happen the next day. And that's the way Jesus can cause us to make good decisions, because he's the only one that knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, all those crazy things, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishments ministered, who knit together, increase with the increase of God. If we're all together and we love each other and we have unity in our beliefs, God's the one that gets the increase. Therefore, verse 20, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments or the rules of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why do you place yourself under those rules and worry about them all the time? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men. Folks, as a Christian, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have got to decide what information comes from God and what information comes from men. Because God doesn't ask us to believe what men say, only what he says. And the only thing we can believe that men says is when they're saying what God said. I don't mean to wipe out the nobleness of everything I've just said. But for folks that don't quite get it, you know, Jesus spoke in parable. Parable, he talked about things that happened in that day that people were listening to him knew about. And the analogy that God gave me is not a parable. But if you got a dog that won't mind, you got to put him on chain, right? You carry him out in public, got to put him on a leash. Why? He'll get you in trouble if you let him have freedom. Now hear me. What did the Bible say about what Jesus gives us? Them to whom Christ has given freedom is free indeed. God has freed us up with the church. If you live under the Holy Spirit and you answer your master's command, you don't have to be put on a leash or a chain. You're not going to get in trouble because the man's there. Everything you do that's wrong, he says, come, sit, and stay, and you do it. A dog like that don't get in trouble. But you see a lot of Christians who don't think that way. They're not concerned with what they do as far as what God thinks. And when you remind them of it, they throw it back in your face, just like a dog. You grab him and try to control him, he's liable to turn around and bite your arm off. So what is this life that he gives us if we live like he wants us to live? We've seen what is the result of people who don't live that life. I walked by the counter this morning, hadn't thought about it since before. And a birthday card I gave my wife had a saying in it. It said, live your life so that every morning when you swing over and put your feet on the floor, the devil says, oh no, she's awake again. That's what we're talking about. Don't let Satan get you down. He's got no power on you whatsoever. The only thing you can do to be obedient to Satan is to choose to do it. Well, use your choices to do what God says, and then you'll have Satan upset at you for getting up every morning too. Let's pray. God, teach us how to live in your kingdom, how to live under your supervision, in the power of your Holy Spirit, in communication with you that is in us all day long. And Lord, we'll praise you and glorify you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.